Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter number 19, beginning with text number 25. This text 30 is a whole series of verses with no purport, starting with text 25. So I think 32 is on the board, right? This is a chapter entitled The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Punsayam samsritir hetu asantoshota kamayo yadrichayo papanena santosho muktaye smrita. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. Text 26. Yadricha lava tusta yatustasya tejo viprasya vardate tat prasamyatya santosha ambasevanu ambaseva shushu shamashanaisani. A Brahman who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. But the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahman decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. Tasmai trini padadyeva vrinit tvadvaradarshava itavataiva siddoham bitam yavat prayojanam. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift I shall be pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied to receive that which is absolutely needed. Text 28. Sri Sukha Uvacha Ityukta Sahasan Aha Vanchata Pratigriyatam Vamanaya Mahim Datum Jagraha Jalabhajanam. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, "All right, take whatever you like." To confirm his promise to give Vamandev the desired land, he then took up his water pot. Text 29. Vishnave shamam pradyasyantam usana asureshvaram jana janam chikirsitam Vishnu shishya praha vidanvaran. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Sukracharya, the best of the learned, immediately spoke as follows to his disciple who was about to offer everything to Lord Vamandev. Text 30. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Esave Rochane Sakshat Bhagavan Vishnu Avyaya Kasyapad Aditir Jato Devanam Karya Sadaka. Sukacharya said, O Sanabhi Rochana, this brahmachari in the form of a dwarf is directly the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Accepting Kasyapa Muni as his father and Aditi as his mother, he has now appeared in order to fulfill the interests of the demigods. Text 31. Pratishrutam Tvayai Tasmai Yadanartam Ajanata Nasadu Manye Daityanam Mahan Upagatonaya. You do not know what a dangerous position you've accepted by promising to give him land. I do not think this promise is good for you. It will bring great harm to the demons. The text 32. Eshate stanam aishvaryam Sriyam tejo yasakshutam Dasyat yachidai Chidya Sakraya Maya Manavako Hari Eshaha. This person falsely appearing as a brahmachari. Te of you, Sanam, the land in possession, Aishvaryam, the riches, Sriyam, the material beauty, Tejaha, material power, Yashaha, the reputation, Srutam, the education, Dasayati, will give, Achidya, taking from you, Sakraya, unto your enemy, Lord Indra, Maya, falsely appearing, Manavakaha, a brahmachari, son of a living being, Hari, he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, Hari. Translation, this person falsely appearing as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Translation, please repeat. This person falsely appearing as a brahmachari, is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in this regard that the very word Hari means one who takes away. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries. And in the beginning, the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, reputation, education, and beauty. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 88, Verse 8, Yasyaham anugranami harisye taddanam shanai. The Lord said to Maharaj Yudhisthira, the first installment of my mercy toward a devotee is I take away all his possessions, especially his material opulence, his money. This is a special favor of the Lord toward a sincere devotee. If a sincere devotee wants Krishna above everything, but at the same time is attached to material possessions, which hinder his advancement in Krishna consciousness, by tactics, the Lord takes away all his possessions. Here Sukracharya says that this dwarf brahmachari would take away everything. Thus he indicates that the Lord will take away all one's material possession and also one's mind. If one delivers his mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, Savai Manak Krishna Padara Vindayo, one can naturally sacrifice everything to satisfy him. Although Bali Maharaj was a devotee, he was attached to material possessions, and therefore the Lord, being kind to him, showed him special favor by appearing as Lord Bhaman to take away all his material possessions along with his mind. Ishate sanamaishvaryam shriyate juya sastrutam dasa yat yacha jasakraya maya manavako hari. This person falsely appearing as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swapanandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Tulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Vasari Gaur Bhaktivin Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavata Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So this is the most famous part of this whole pastime. Bali Maharaj appeared as a young dwarf Brahmin. The Supreme Lord has appeared as a dwarf Brahmin before Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, puffed up with all his influence and power that he has taken over the lands of the demigods, he offered him, whatever you like, I can give you. You want a kingdom, you want wealth, you want jewels, gold, silver, or perhaps you want beautiful princess. But you don't know about these things. And, very surprising, Bhamandeva said, I just want 3 steps of land. Are? I can give you a whole kingdom? Why are you saying 3 steps of land? And these verses, very important instructions. Bhamandeva says, if one is not satisfied with what he has gotten in life, he'll never be satisfied in life. And this immediately struck the heart of Bali Maharaj. Because Bali Maharaj, he was continuously performing sacrifices. Why? To get more and more material opulence. More and more wealth and power and influence. It struck like an arrow in Bali Maharaj's heart. Simple thing, he said. If you're not satisfied with what easily gotten, then you'll never be satisfied in life. And we all have the practical experience that we set some goal for ourselves that when I get this, this is what I want. And somehow we get that much influence, power, wealth, money, And we're not satisfied. We want more and more. We're never satisfied. We all have this experience. So this is the nature of material life. We're never satisfied. But, and so thus we're never peaceful. One who's not satisfied, santosh, how can he be peaceful? He cannot be peaceful. Always worrying day and night, where's more money, where's more money, where's more power, where's more influence? Always worrying day and night. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that lust, it burns like fire. Fire consumes whatever is put into it. It's not that we can, by putting more fuel, the fire will become less. By putting more fuel in the fire, will the fire become less? No, it blazes higher and higher. So lust is like that. We think if I satisfy my lust, then I'll be happy. But immediately it blazes higher and higher. Sometimes we may throw so much wood on the fire that in the beginning it seems to go out. So much wood has come, it seems to go out. But in the next few minutes, pow, it blazes higher and higher. So sometimes we think we've satisfied our lust. But immediately it blazes higher and higher. Lust is like that. Trying to satisfy the senses will never bring us happiness in this material world. We're totally convinced, this is material life means we're totally convinced that by satisfying our material desires, we'll become satisfied. But everybody sees he's never satisfied. Only one like Vamadeva, who simply wants whatever is needed in life, he's satisfied. One who is naturally satisfied in life, whatever he's got, he becomes peaceful. So this struck our Bali Maharaj in the heart. What is going on here? I'm trying to acquire more and more power, influence, wealth, beauty, fame. And actually I'm not satisfied. He was also realized, I'm not satisfied. What he's saying is right. Struck him in the heart. Hearing these words, Sukracharya, he became suspicious. This fellow standing before Bali Maharaj, who can deliver unlimited wealth to him, and he wants 3 steps of land, and immediately understood that, what does it say? This is false brahmacharya. What is the word? Maya. Maya manavako hari. This is not real brahmacharya, this is Maya brahmacharya. Actually, it was not Maya at all, because he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know the Lord has got so many potencies. And Lord Himself is situated within His antaranga shakti, internal potency. External potency is aloof from Him. In Gujarat, we were studying that for portion of first canto, where Lord Vyasadev sat down in meditation, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead with Maya on the backside. Maya's on the backside. Lord is the truth. He's not Maya. Here he's insulting the Lord. This is Maya Brahmacharya. So that Maya, that is the external energy of the Lord. That is different from the internal potency. Just like in our body, we have the fingernail. The fingernail is also part of our body, but it's not living. It's part of the body. Every week we cut it. It's not like, oh. It's dead. It's part of the body, but it's dead. So external energy, Maya, is part of Krishna's potencies, but it's dead energy. It's also part of Krishna's energies, but it is a dead energy. So immediately, Sukracharya became suspicious. that on the plea of taking three steps of land, he's going to take everything, and he just named just about everything that there is in this world. He will take away your land, your wealth, your beauty, your power, fame, and education. And what will he do? Shakra means enemy. He will give it to your enemy, Lord Indra. Therefore, see in the next verses, he uses this as a reason why he can. Bali Maharaj will argue, I have given promise to a Brahmin. And Shukracharya will say, yes, but that promise that is harmful to oneself, one does not have to keep. This is the argument that he'll use. That he's going to take everything, and then you'll be in a dangerous situation. You don't have to keep that promise. So here, Biswanath Chakravarti points out that the specific word used in this verse is Hari. And we have heard over and over again, Hari means one who takes away. Specifically, Lord takes away all of our misery and gives us eternal happiness. Prabhupada says, superficially, he takes away our possessions sometimes. Just like we saw the example in Prabhupada's own life. He was thinking that I will make a big business, I will make lots of money, and I will help Bhakti Siddhanta. He had a noble idea. It was service. Still, Lord had different plan for Prabhupada. He took everything away. And Prabhupada wrote that Vrindavan bhajan. Sitting here in this very Vrindavan, just not far from here in Radha Damodar Mandir, that I have so wife and children, and so it's just a list of names. Now I'm seeing the naked form of material energy, just a list of names. At the time of death, none of these things will help you. Just like Shastra describes, that at the time of death, one is thinking, no, I have my house, I have my beautiful house. Your house will stay where it is. It will not go with you. But I have so many fixed deposits and investments. Your money will stay with the baniya. Old days we didn't have banks. Bank and baniya almost sounds the same. Your wealth is not going to go with you. That will stay with the baniya. That will stay in the bank. It's not going with you. But I have my beautiful car. That will stay in the garage. Actually, Shastra doesn't say that. They have so many animals that they will stay in their corral. They're not going with you. But I have my beautiful wife. She will follow you up to the door. Generally, the ladies don't go to the cremation ground, so they will follow you up to the door. But I have all my friends. They will follow you up to the ghat. But I've got this body. That body will follow you up to the pyre. And after that, you will go alone. You cannot take anything with you. You will go alone. So at that moment, we realize that everything is illusion. In fact, there's one type of tyag, shamsham tyag. When one goes to the shamsham, then he thinks, he sees his friend being burned. He said, he struggled so hard his whole life, now he's just, this is the end. Just burning, turning into ashes. Then one starts to think, what am I doing with my life? But that shamsham tyag remains only up to until you get back home. Then you turn on your TV set and forget about everything. So it is list of names only. Prabhupada wrote, it is only list of names. None of these things will help me at the time of death. But we see, although Lord took everything away from Prabhupada, he gave him everything. fact, he got vision there in Radha Damodar temple. Rupa Goswami said, don't worry about anything. We have made all arrangements for you. Don't worry. Everything will come. We can't imagine, especially now we're about to cross the age of 70. We can't imagine just leaving our hearth and home, traveling across the ocean on a steamship, with just a trunk of books, not knowing anybody there, not even knowing properly the language. Many people said they couldn't follow. I never had trouble to follow Prabhupada's English, but many devotees said they couldn't follow. No, only very flimsy contact, just some Agarwal in Agra. We're eternally indebted to the Agarwals of Agra. They delivered Prabhupada to America. He said, my son was, he needed a letter of sponsorship. So many times for his father, he had sponsored so many holy men. Nobody ever came, but now Prabhupada arrived on his doorstep. And having left Bharat, he had lost all of his culture. Even they were, Prabhupada said, I was keeping my things in the refrigerator along with their things. He just very euphemistically said, their things. We can understand what he meant by their things. So we can't imagine such a thing. We're 70 years old. We don't go on steamships. We fly a nice 787 Dreamliners. Somebody's there to pick us up at the airport. Nobody was there. Prabhupada arrived. Somebody from East Agarwal's, Gopal sent somebody from Traveler's Aid. One company is there that helps travelers to put him on the bus. We can't imagine such a thing. But now look at, even before Prabhupada left, Prabhupada in his lecture, especially in India, used to brag, now our expenditure every day is crores of rupees. Prabhupada left with nothing, 40 rupees. In America, 40 rupees is nothing. That's 2 seconds karch. And he came back and he built this glorious temple in Vrindavan. He built this huge temple. This was an enormous temple in those days. And nobody was building temples in Vrindavan. People were selling their temples. Sometimes we go to temples, we see so many different deities on one altar. And we're thinking, wow, so many deities on one altar. But the truth behind it is, they sold some deity's property, so they put him on that together on the altar. Then they sold that deity's property, so many deities, they sold all the temple properties. Illegally. Vrindavan was a dusty little town, sleepy little town. No one was coming. So they were thinking how to get something out of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was the first one to come here and invest something in Vrindavan. Krishna took everything away from him, but in return, he gave him everything. He built such a glorious temple, Bombay, such a glorious temple. Who can imagine? Can you imagine on Jamashtami, 1 million people coming to your temple? I think London is the biggest place outside of Bharat, and there they estimate 60,000-70,000 people. That's the biggest Jamashtami outside. Can you imagine 1 million people? That I went there many years ago for Jamashtami. I wanted along with all the many material desires in my heart, there was one desire to see the Jamashtami in Juhu temple. And the police estimated 8 lakhs of people. 800,000 people. And now I'm sure it's at least 1 million people, maybe more. Can you imagine that coming to your temple? Wherever you are in the world. So Krishna, he took everything away from Prabhupada but gave him everything. Even his children abandoned him, except for one Vrindavan Das who just left this world recently. But Prabhupada said, now I have so many children. We're amazed sitting here. We join Krishna Balaram temple, especially in April or May. There would be nobody here. I'm just shocked to see the whole temple room is full. So Krishna will give you everything if you dedicate your life to spreading His glories. We shouldn't worry. Just like if you go to Malaysia, the people there, when you try to preach, say, no, we don't want to worship that Krishna. He's got that flute, he'll blow away all your wealth. Especially we went to Sindhi temples, and very beautiful Sindhi temples, Radha and Krishna's there with no flute. That flute will blow away everything. They don't put the flute. Malaysia, everybody worships Amma. His mother will give us everything, you know. But that Krishna, don't worship him. He'll take away everything from you. But all these things, they're nothing. It's as we already said, they'll not follow you. They'll not go with you. Everything's going to stay. Only thing will follow you is your whatever devotional service you perform in this life. That is, goes into your eternal bank account. Just like we used to have one drama in the old days. Wrong bank account. There was one fellow, he was earning money like anything, and every week he would go and deposit it in the bank very carefully. Then one day, he got heart attack. Then he realized, I'm going to die. I've got all this money. Let me spend it before I die. He went to the bank and they looked and said, there's no money in your account. He said, but I've been depositing. He showed the deposit slip. He said, that was the wrong bank account. Then he had heart attack and died. We used to do this drama on Sunday feast in old when I first became devotee. Right bank account is our devotional bank account. Whatever bhakti we do, that Krishna told in Bhagavad Gita that no loss or diminution. Even if we're not able to complete our Krishna consciousness, we'll begin from where we left off. If we have done 10%, then next lifetime we'll be born in such a situation that we'll begin from 10%. You do 50, then we'll begin from 50%. That is the eternal bank account. So we want to put all our energy into our spiritual bank account. Because everybody, every day we see so many, we drive on the street, so many signs are there, this scheme, that scheme, everybody's worried how to invest their money to get the best return. But you should think, I invest all my time, energy, whole life, all my money, all my wealth, all my work, everything for this body. And what is the return? It shrivels up like a raisin and dies. Very bad investment. It's like I say, youth means you have the energy but no money. What is that then? Middle age? You have time. Oh, youth means time and energy but no money. Then next comes energy and money but no time. And when is involved in his family life, then there's no time. And then finally the old age, there's time but no energy. There's time, money and no energy. So it's a very bad investment. But our investment in Krishna consciousness, that will go eternally benefit us. That will last with us from life to life without any diminution. There's no loss or diminution. Svalpamipi yasya dharmasya trayato bayat. And when we fear from the greatest fear is to again take birth in this material world. And we don't know. Especially now, if people are so impious, they're not even going to make it to a human life. We don't know what we're going to by even just taking some little prasad, one is assured at least getting human birth. That was a story. When I first became a devotee, I don't hear that story anymore. Where's our friend is not here. Okay. They told us when glorifying prasadam, there was a story about one sinful man who got lost in the forest. Because he was very, very sinful, he'd even killed Brahmins. And he was lost in the forest, nothing to eat, he was wandering here and there. Same forest, there were some Vaishnavas, sadhus. One day it was some special day like Ram Navami or something, so they made a special feast. And they cooked and offered that bhoga with so much love and devotion. They were great Vaishnava sadhus. And then they sat down, they took whatever was necessary. There was some prasadam left over, so they left it under a tree for the animals, because if an animal takes prasad, immediately he skips so many births and deaths, immediately takes human form of life. So they left it under the tree for the animals, because we shouldn't waste prasad. And they left. Meanwhile, that man came, he saw there was burned wood. He meant somebody must have been cooking here. Maybe they spilled something. Under the tree, he saw this prasadam that they had left. Immediately began to eat it, but at the same time, the reaction to all his sinful life, a hungry tiger appeared on the scene. And the tiger pounced on him and killed him and ate him. But because he'd just eaten this prasadam that was offered by these great sages with so much love and devotion, it was so powerful prasadam, immediately Vaikuntha airplane came and took him back to Vaikuntha. Same time, a herd of mad elephants came through the forest. They trampled on the tiger and killed him. But the tiger had just eaten the man who had just eaten his very powerful prasadam. Also, Vaikuntha airplane came and took the soul of tiger back to Vaikuntha. I don't hear that story anymore. When I first became devotee, did you ever hear this story, Maharaj? Yeah. Oh, there's my friend. All right, yeah. You heard this story? In the beginning we heard it. Now they don't tell it. I never hear it. So everything we do in Krishna consciousness is so auspicious. I remember that devotees were preaching to me that you just stay here and become a devotee. You stay here chanting, dancing and feasting. That was our slogan in the old days. Chanting, dancing and feasting, and the absolute truth will be revealed to you. But as soon as you step out that door, Bhavananda was very dramatic. He said, the web of karma will begin to bind you. And I thought, chanting, dancing and feasting, and you go back to home, back to Godhead, to eternity, bliss and knowledge, and as soon as I go back to mature life, birth, death, disease and old age, what is the choice? There's not even a choice to become a devotee. I immediately became a devotee. I don't have the experience of coming to the temple and being... I just came to the temple. It was the day before Jamashtami. Next day I started reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada answered all my questions just in his introduction. And devotees were preaching to me, and I just became a devotee. I thought, what is it? Chanting, dancing and feasting, and you get eternity, bliss and knowledge, and go back to mature life and birth, death, disease and old age. There's no choice. So Sukracharya, he's very worried now. This fellow is going to... this is Lord Vishnu. He's come to take everything away. In the next verses we'll see what Bali Maharaj does. We shouldn't worry that Krishna will take anything material away from him. He'll return it many times over with spiritual bliss. So any questions or comments? Our moving mic wants to go. Where is our...
Hare Krishna, thank you for such a wonderful lecture. Bhakti Maharaj is an asura and at the same time devotee. These are two contradictions. What's your mind on this?
Well, now he's going to become a devotee. He surrenders everything. He was already a little bit of a devotee, but here Prabhupada says he was too much attached to material things. He was performing yajñas and sacrifices. And actually that's what he told. He said that we should offer a yajña to Vishnu, and now Vishnu has come, and you're saying don't give him anything. What is this? This is Bali Maharaj's argument. Yeah? So now he became, by surrendering everything, he's the emblem of surrendering everything to the Lord, Atmanivedana. He became, by this one act, he became one of the 12 Mahajans. Yeah. So we say that every saint has got a past, and every sinner has got a future. So he may have been a little bit demoniac in the beginning, but in the end he became a Vaishnava. Sued Vaishnava, became one of the 12 Mahajans. Oh, Jagyasu.
You were speaking about that we go for cremation, and when we cremate a person, then the parallel comes to us, that we think that we have to also die, but when we come in the house, then we open a genie and sit and we forget them. So usually this thing happens when the devotee comes to the temple, they like that, oh, I should become a devotee, but when they go home, they forget.
No, the same thing. There's two things. The shamsham vihag, two times we feel vairagya. When we hear a nice lecture from a holy sadhu, and when we go to the shamsham. But we have to continuously, that's why Prabhupada said nityam bhagavata. Everybody does 7 days bhagavatam, they run through the whole bhagavatam in 7 days. But it's just a big show. He wants to show off, I have so much black money, I make the big tent, call the biggest halwa in the whole town, and everybody comes dressed very nicely, and it's just a fashion. But not 7 days, nityam bhagavata, say Prabhupada said, every day we have to hear bhagavata. It's like you said, as soon as we go home we forget, so we have to continuously remind and remind and remind. This material world, maya, means to make us forget. So we come in the lecture, we get a little fired up, then we go home, we forget. So then we have to come back again and again and again and again.
Thank you.
Way in the back there's a question.
How can the materials, world and the spiritual world parallelly without inflicting on karma?
How do we balance material and spiritual without?
Without getting inflicted by karma.
Yes. That is a great art. Isopanishad exactly says that one vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tadvayobhyam. That what is that? That one has to cultivate both knowledge, material knowledge and spiritual knowledge. Because our train runs on two tracks. If we only have one rail, then our train will crash. So somehow we're living in this material world. We got this material body. We have to have some way to maintain it, some way to maintain our family. But at the same time, we have to not neglect our spiritual life. Just like that was also the play we used to do on Sunday feast, that there was a young boy. He was from a village. He went to the big, big city and went to the university. So finally, after getting his degree, he wanted to go back to his village and show off everything. Though to get to his village, there was a big river. So he asked the boatman to please take me to the other side. So then he wanted to show off his knowledge. He said, my dear boatman, do you know anything about Shakespeare? The poor Kewati said, nobody named Shakespeare ever sat in my boat. Not from here, he's from England, great playwright from England. You don't know Shakespeare. Sorry. Oh, 25% of your life is wasted. Tell me, Kewat, you know anything about quantum mechanics? Quantum mechanics? Even I don't know what it is. Quantum mechanics? No idea. You don't know this is the most advanced branch of mathematics. Oh, mathematics, I know. If you give me 10 rupees, I have to give you 5 back. If you give me 20 rupees, I have to give you 15 back. I know mathematics. Arey, Kewat, you don't know anything. 50% of your life is wasted. What do you know about Einstein? He's the greatest scientist. No scientist ever sat in my boat. Not from here. He's a great scientist. He developed this atomic theory. 75% of your life is wasted. You don't know anything. Suddenly, Tufan came. The boat began to rock. Wind was blowing. Rain was coming. The boat flipped over. And the young boy was crying, "Help me, help me." He said, "You don't know how to swim." "No, I never learned." Then 100% of your life is wasted. Remember that play? So it's a great art. It takes practice. Therefore, we have to keep association of devotees and learn and keep. It's nice to have a spiritual friend who can help us to keep our balance, to balance our material. We need both. We have to have a balance. To keep that balance, we need to constantly associate with devotees. And gradually we'll learn how to balance both things. Comes from practice. It's something one will get from practice by practicing in association of devotees. So if there's no other questions, then we'll fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's taken away all our material life and given us the most wonderful, joyful spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada ki.